Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so glad to have you with us this Sunday. We are actually celebrating National Indigenous Peoples Day, and we will be using our liturgy for that. Our service of the word this morning will be led by myself, Hannah Scorer, and our rector, Keith Nethery. Our music is led this morning by Victoria Piovison, Paul Grambo. We have guests, Celtic Shift, and of course, Stephen Hollowitz. And as ever with us is John Gardy, our sound engineer. We begin this service with a land acknowledgement to honor the ancestral people who lived on this land and the current Indigenous peoples who reside in this area. In this time and place, we gather on the ancestral beaver hunting grounds of the Algonquin, Haudenosaunee, and Attawandaran peoples, the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe peoples, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Lenni Lenape peoples, and the current communities of the Chippewa of the Thames First Nation, Oneida of the Thames, and Munsee Delaware Nation. For many places and peoples, we have come to this time of prayer, and we uphold our common stewardship of creation and our common birthplace of God's earth. We respect our place on this land and move forward in love and peace.
Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend. Let us pray. Creator God, from you every family in heaven and earth takes its name. You have rooted and grounded us in your covenant love and empowered us by your Spirit to speak the truth in love and to walk in your way towards justice and wholeness. Mercifully grant that your people, journeying together in partnership, may be strengthened and guided to help one another to grow into the full stature of Christ, who is our light and our life. A reading from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. The God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel this morning is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've spoken many times about the Gospels and when they were written, why they were written. And I think it's important to understand how the Gospels were created one after another to make a broader story. So if you read the first few verses of Mark's Gospel, you'll find that Jesus is already an adult male. He's being baptized, and he is immediately moved into ministry. That was written about 70 CE, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or even 10 years later. Matthew and Luke were written somewhat side by side. They had similar sources, including Mark's Gospel, the Q source, which is this collection that was available to both writers that would have been known in that time. And then they had stories that they each wanted to tell separately. So in some ways, John's Gospel then is the wrap-up. It could have been as much as 30 years after Mark before it was written. And it was not written in the sense of being a history, but rather a theology. But if you noticed, Mark's Gospel started at a point, and then Matthew and Luke started at an earlier point because they both told the story of Jesus' birth. And now you've got John's Gospel that takes us all the way back to the beginning of creation and beyond. So you can see that there is a growing story as the people in Jerusalem and the area around were coming to understand what this meant that Jesus had come and walked on the face of this earth. They began to learn, to grow. And we can see that in John's Gospel. John's Gospel has so many things that were not connected to the earlier Gospels, but very much were designed to try and get at the theology of God. We're all familiar with those words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All the way back to the beginning. Seamless. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been there. And what they created was good. Now, that might have come as a bit of a shock to some people that had only what we know as the Old Testament scriptures. There was much conflict, much excluding of people. There were horrific battles in which people claimed that God had led them to victory. I have a hard time accepting that, except to say that that was the world they found themselves in. But our world has evolved. And as the people in the century after Jesus' ministry in person on this earth worked diligently to figure out what it meant, we should still be doing the same thing today. We should not be saying, this is the book, everything's closed, this is all there is to know about God. We should always be expanding our knowledge, expanding our understanding. So I may be the least qualified person to preach on the National Day of Prayer for Indigenous People, but let me tell you what I've learned over years. My understanding of our Indigenous people has grown and changed. And I pray that others who have not got to know people from our Indigenous community will take the opportunity to learn and to grow. Certainly, as I remember it in elementary school and high school, absolutely nothing was taught to me about Indigenous people, their history or their culture. They just always had been. And in fact, I'm quite sure I grew up thinking that everything was wonderful. Before I started seminary, and having had some interaction with Indigenous people in the Diocese of Calgary, I was asked to take a course to prepare me to go back to university-level studying. And I chose to take an online course, a correspondence course, on Indigenous history between 1700 and 1867. To say I was gobsmacked would be an understatement. There was so much information presented that I'd never heard before. And one of the things that I had a hard time reconciling and had to actually ask my course advisor why the textbooks said different things. And I don't remember the exact response, but it was something to the effect, so that you can learn that there are different perspectives and different understandings. So that set me on a quest to understand. And it was a brand new quest because, and I'm sure there are many people in my age group and older that will say the same thing, that knew nothing of the story. I'd never heard of a residential school. So let me share a few things with you over time that have made me a different person. The Reverend Arthur, a young man. For many years, he was the priest at Gleeshan in Alberta, amongst the Blackfoot people. Arthur didn't speak much English, and I spoke less Blackfoot. But we developed a relationship, a friendship. We would figure out how to translate our differences. I learned that he was perhaps the most gentle spirit that I had ever known. He taught me something about time that I've never learned. Frustrated me. Time was irrelevant. Things happened when people were ready. The most poignant moment was on a retreat weekend, and Arthur and I were sitting at the same table, as always, trying to talk to each other. There was a fairly large candle sitting in the middle of the table, and it was slowly burning. And suddenly Arthur grabbed me by the arm and shook me and pointed. And on the side of that candle, as the wax was burning down, for maybe 15 seconds, was the perfect shape of an angel. Arthur told me that was our angel and would always be our angel. I've talked a little bit about my friend Abraham, who sat me down one day in seminary, talked to me for about 3 hours, and I just listened. He just overwhelmed me with everything. I've told, with his permission, the story of his experience in residential schools. What I want to mention today was how he taught me about his way of life. Now, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up around farming communities. My dad liked to fish. I remember, I think I went hunting with him once and made enough noise to scare all the birds away. Abraham told me about how he used to work the trap line with his dad, how they hunted and fished together, how they always carried tobacco, because when you took something from Mother Nature, you gave something back. He talked to me about respect for elders and about how happy he remembered being a little boy growing up in his home. For many years, he ministered among his people. There was another student who came at the same time, Martha. Martha is still with us, still quite active in ministry, although I'm pretty sure she's well into her 80s now. And these two students came from their land, from being on the land, into our educational system, a university educational system. They didn't have that much formal education. They had tremendous knowledge. But of course, our system meant they had to meet our standards. And Martha struggled and struggled with a smile on her face all the time. Her and Albert, who was the cribbage king of the College of Emmanuel in St. Chad. It took Martha longer than she expected, but she graduated. I couldn't be there, but I saw pictures and that big smile. To this day, I hear from her on Facebook all the time. She talks about her deep faith in Jesus Christ. She gives thanks for being delivered from the difficulties of the early part of her life. She travels hundreds and thousands of kilometers to minister, to tell the gospel. She was heartbroken when Albert died just over a year ago. Slowed her down for a while, but she's back. One of the most positive people that I will have ever met in my life. She just never let anything get her down. She faced mountains in her life that I couldn't get up the foothills towards them. And she's thrived. What a wonderful example. And she is so loved as an elder of her people. One more little story. There is a place in the Creator's earth called Wanuskewing Heritage Village, just north of Saskatoon. First time I went, I really didn't want to go. It is a reconstructed home of a small group of indigenous people, complete with stories of how they lived, where they moved, constantly on the move. This was just probably their summer home. It was just phenomenal to walk and to see how they used every square inch of their campsite, how they used everything that the Creator gave them. They had found the medicine wheel that had been there for who knows how long and had restored it. It was like walking back into that time 3 or 4 centuries ago. And I learned. You see, everything that God has made is good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God has created, and God has called us to grow, to learn. Sometimes we do a good job, other times we do a terrible job. Sometimes we refuse to grow, we refuse to learn. But when we look back through our history, we've always grown. We've always learned about God. We've learned different understandings, different ways. If you think of what church was like when you were small, even if you're only in your 20s or 30s, it's different today. There are so many new things that we encompass and learn and do. So if there's anything I can ask you to do today, it is to commit yourself to learning about our indigenous people. If you didn't learn in school, find other ways. Find people you can talk to. I'll give you a hint from what I've learned from Abraham and Martha, Arthur, Sidney Black, Mervyn Wolfe Legg, and many others. When they start to talk, I just sat and listened. And that's not an easy thing for me to do. They have stories and understandings about Creator and Mother Earth that just blow me away. I wish I'd known. I do know now, and that's why I stand firmly to say that we need to help our indigenous people. We need to let them show us the way. We need to find healing. We need to rebuild relationships. We need to trust. And as the gospel says, we must love. We must walk together in love and peace and friendship always. That's my prayer for today. Amen.
Vision, O Lord of my heart, not in
place of our creed this morning, we make a statement of belief that is found on the National Anglican website for Indigenous Peoples Day. We believe in the love of God, embodied in the person of Jesus, and spread through the cosmos by the Holy Spirit. Now I would invite you into a time of prayer. Creator and Redeemer, as we approach you in prayer, make us walk in beauty and balance. Make us open our hearts and minds. Make us speak the truth. We pray first for your community, the church, the body of Christ. We pray for all our relatives in the circle of life throughout all creation, for those chosen to be our leaders and teachers. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. We call upon the earth, our mother and home, with its beautiful depths, soaring heights and deep waters, its vitality and abundance of life, and together we ask that it teach us and show us the way. We call upon the mountains and tundra, the high green valleys and prairies filled with wildflowers, the snows, the summits of intense silence, and we ask that they teach us and show us the way. We call upon the land which grows our food, the nurturing soil, the fertile fields, the abundant gardens and orchards, and we ask that they teach us and show us the way. We call upon the forests, the great trees reaching strongly to the sky with the earth in their roots and the heavens in their branches, the fir and the pine, the cedar and the maple. We ask them to teach us and show us the way. We call upon the creatures of the fields and forests and the waters, our brothers and sisters, the wolves and deer, the eagle and bear, the great whales and the fish. We ask them to teach us and show us the way. We call upon all those who have lived on this earth, our ancestors and our friends who dreamt the best for future generations and upon whose lives our lives are built. And with thanksgiving, we call upon them to teach us and show us the way. Creator, you made the world and declared it to be good. The beauty of the trees, the softness of the air, the fragrance of the grass speaks to us. The summit of the mountains, the thunder of the sky, the rhythm of the waters speak to us. The faintness of the stars, the freshness of the morning, the dewdrops on the flowers speak to us. But above all, our heart soars, for you speak to us in Jesus the Christ, in whose name we offer these prayers. Amen. Let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Send us anywhere you would have us go. Only go there with us. Place upon us any burden you desire. Only stand by us to sustain us. Break any tie that binds us, except the tie that binds us to you. And the blessing of God, the Creator, who made and knows us, the Savior who redeems and befriends us, and the Spirit who enlightens and sustains us, be with you this day and always. Amen.
Thou rulest in might. thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great source of all glory and wisdom and light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. O Lord, we would render, O help us to see, it is only the splendor of light hiding.
In the name of the light that came into the world, go in peace. Thanks be to God.